Okay, so tonight, Be'ezras Hashem, we're continuing with Entering the Sea of Wisdom based on the teachings of the Goyin and the Tzaddik, Rav Yitzchak Maya Morgenstern Shlita. And what they printed, you know, I was there last night for Shal Shudis Baruch Hashem, and I was able to get the kuntres that they had printed out. And this is like when they do it fancy prior to Shabbos, they print it out already stapled. So this is actually a teaching, this is a shiur that the Rebbe gave on a Monday night of Parsha Shemos of this year. So it was recorded already, and for whatever reason, they brought it down again in Shirei Chasidus, which I always find that, you know, it's Russian roulette sometimes what you're going to find in here. So if it's printed, then Mamela means it's Shaykh to discuss this week. So this was a shir that the Rebbe was giving on the second teaching in the second volume of Likutei Maharan. We're not going to go too deeply into the Torah itself, because this is just kind of a tangential way of dealing with the second Torah, and we'll see. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing idea. Obviously, the ideas that are going to be discussed here are so dark, they're so delicate, that they really deserve to be looked at inside. And thankfully, most of the makor that's being brought here, one is Likutei Maharan, and one is Derech Mitzvei Secha from the Tzemach Tzedek, which is a fundamentally valuable sefer in terms of the introduction into Pnimiyas HaChasidus VaKabbalah. And it's a hosafa at the back of the Tzemach Tzedek's commentary on the mitzvos. There's a hosafa there, Be'inyan Mitzvos Halel, which is very shaykh to this man that we're coming up on, which is Rosh Chodesh. So the Inyan of Halel is going to play a significant role. So we'll look at the words of the Rebbe, and then we'll go weiter. One thing to say is that just I've been learning the Chaim Maharan Biur of the Rebbe, and the Rebbe makes a chiluk between the two parts of Likutei Maharan. Likutei Maharan is split up into two volumes. It's Likutei Maharan Kama and Likutei Maharan Tinyana. Now, Rabbi Nachman did not live a very long life in terms of the amount of time he was here, although he saw Mesoifa Olam Ad Sofo in the short amount of time. But the Rebbe pointed out, based on earlier Meforshim, Rav Avram Ben Rav Nachman as well, that Likutei Maharan Kama was written when Rabbi Nachman's son was still alive. When Rabbi Nachman's son was still alive, Rabbi Nachman was very much oisek in the sugya of Mashiach in a practical way. He had, like most tzaddikim have, like really any of the tzaddikim whose books we learn, they believed deeply in Mashiach, and they had enough anava to be able to look at themselves and say, you know, like, why not me? Right? They were willing to understand that their kochos did not come from them. So mamela, if their kochos were kochos, then they were real kochos. And at that time, Rabbi Nachman would point to his kaftan and he would say, this is the kaftan that Mashiach Tzidkenu is going to be wearing. He had a lot invested in his son. There was an aura of geula that's hidden. There was a lot of censorship inherent within early writings of Breslov Kiyadua. And that ended. That ended the year Tav Kuf Samech Vav, I believe. The year that the Rebbe's son passed away is also the year that Sipurei Maaseh started. It's also the year that Rabbi Nosson started writing Likutei Halachos. So it was a big year. But the first volume of Likutei Maharan is very much about Oiris of Geula, how to bring Mashiach. As you can see from the first teaching in Likutei Maharan, it's Ki Isha Yisraeli Tzarich Tamid Listakel Basechel Shel Kol Davar. Yid has to always be focusing on the seichel, on the ruchnius in each and everything. It's a command, there's a call, there's a requirement and a responsibility of what it means to be a ben adam who draws geula into this world. Afterwards, in the second volume, which was closer to the time of Rabbeinu's Histalkus, after his trip to Eretz Yisrael, the Torah was no longer so much about a pu'ula sa geula, about actually in bringing down geula in a particular way, but it was about how to be a ben adam, how to be a human being who knows that their job is to wait for Mashiach. Our job is to wait, our job is to be human beings. And that's where you see in Tinyana, you see the first Torah. In Tinyana, it doesn't start with a command, doesn't say you have to do this or that. It says, here's why human beings are better than malachim. It's a halacha psuka. It's no longer a demand, but rather it's kacha. This is the metzias of what it means to be a ben adam. And you see this throughout all of the Torahs in the second volume of Likutei Maharan, that they're much more shayach to a way of living with Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh, as opposed to trying to bring about actual Olam Haba. Echad Avram is the bridge, right? There's a small hashmata in between the two volumes of Likutei Maharan, which is Echad Haya Avram. It's a small teaching about the need for absolute independence in the service of God and the need to not care bechlal what anybody is thinking and to see yourself as the only individual. That's the Gesher Tzarmaot, I believe, between collective redemption that Rabbeinu was hoping for in the first volume and then coming to understand the secret of a personal redemption, of Karvel Nafshi Giyola. And the bridge to that is to recognize recognize that each yid is an entire world. So if each yid is an entire world, then bringing geula to myself is also bringing geula to the olam. So that's what I would say. So, Zakt Rabbeinu, Yemei Chanukah heim Yemei Hoida'a, the days of Chanukah are days of gratitude, says Rabbi Nachman, Kamosha Kasuv, like the Pasuk says. V'kavu shmai, not the Pasuk, but the Tefillah says, V'kavu shmai nasim yechanukah elu lahoidais lahalal, meaning that the kvius of Chanukah is a time of gratitude and praise. V'yemei hoida'a, and what are days of gratitude? Days are gratitude, zehu bechinas sha'ashua olam haba. Gratitude is an aspect of the playfulness of the world to come. Now, I translate sha'ashua as playfulness because lulei sarascha sha'ashua azavadati bi'ani. There's a certain whimsical element associated with the word sha'ashua. Sha'ashua is a very hard word to translate. It's a pleasure, certainly, but it's not necessarily an external pleasure that's associated with an object gratification. It's not necessarily something out of me. It's an internal pleasure, but there's a doubling at the heart of it. It's a sha'ashua. It's the anabanapia of the word is a sha and a sha, as the Mefarshim point out, that it's a doubled movement of sha, which is a movement backwards and forwards, and this to and fro creates some sort of inner friction of an inner sort of quiet pleasure. It's an idea that's explicit throughout all of the Mekubalim, especially the early Mekubalim who were drawing down from a Talmud of the Arizal, Rav Yisrael Sarug, known as the Olam HaMalbush. The Eimek HaMelech speaks a lot about the Sha'ashuim in Chassidus Chabad, but the Sha'ashuim are a playfulness, a recognition of the fact that in this moment right now, within the experience of myself, meaning in and of itself, no longer needing an external object for a relationship of cultivating some sense of pleasure, but rather an interior experience where the movement back and forth within myself, running towards the limit, hitting the limit, returning back, retreating, running towards the limit again, over and over and over, the speed and the friction creates a sense of a sha'ashua. It's referred to as a sha'ashuim pnimim. It's the back and forth that an individual has. So this aspect of hoida, of gratitude, is an access point in to the light of the sha'ashuim, into the light of this playfulness, which is an aspect of the world to come. So here the Rebbe is going to comment on the teachings of Rabbi Nachman. And what we're going to see here is one of the most fundamentally unique things about Rav Itchemeyer is that he's going to learn up a teaching from the Lukut HaMaran with a teaching from the Hasidim in Chabad Lubavitch. Now, it should not be Nechshav as a Chiddush because obviously these two tzaddikim go hand in hand. When Rabbi Nachman was fearing Tish in Uman, he was having Shabbos in Uman, I believe it was in Uman, the Bal HaTanya, the Mesorah is, came for Shabbos, and that's when the Rabbi Nachman was talking about Sari Alafim and Sari Meos, how there's an Or HaKlalus of Yichud, and then there are the Sari Alafim and Sari Meos, like we see in Parshas Yisro, who break that light up so that it becomes more digestible for the common folk. And Rabbi Nachman was hinting to the fact that the Avoida of the Bal HaTanya, and there was familial connection as well, I believe there's a relationship at some point, but that relationship was a very deep one. Even though there was some, not animosity, God forbid, but an external kind of laughter involved in their relationship. But this is a point. The Rebbe is uniting Breslov and Chabad to the extent that you can't have Rabbi Nachman properly without the Kalim of Chabad, and you certainly can't use the Kalim of Chabad properly without the Or of Rabbi Nachman. Both are fundamentally significant. The Rebbe quotes, I haven't seen this inside, but if the Rebbe is quoting it, it's inside, Rav Avram ben Rav Nachman, fourth generation of Breslov, who was a son of Rav Nachman Tilchiner, who was a Talmud Mufak of Rabbi Nosson, who was a Talmud Mufak of Rabbi Nachman. He writes that the first teaching in the Likut HaMaran, ki isha Yisraelit tzarich tamid lehistakel ba'seichel shel kol davar, that a Jewish individual has to look at the intellect within each and everything, mikan raya shetzrichim lilmod Tanya. Right here we have a raya that a Jew has to really know Tanya very well. So both of them go mamish hand in hand. One is shayach to Chutz Laaretz, one is shayach to Eretz Yisrael, but both are obviously deeply connected. So Zok the Rebbe. I think, b'derach klal, I can only speak for myself, I think, b'chutz la'aretz, it's more of an avoida of Chabad Lubavitch, which is more of a sichli inyan, which is, you know, that's where the admoirim were always buried. And here, it's an inyan of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Nachman kind of always said his whole Gantz Zach is Eretz Yisrael. He was here, he conquered Eretz Yisrael. Lubavitch Rebbe never came to Eretz Yisrael, obviously, for a specific reason, right? What the reason is, I'm not sure. I've heard different shitas, but sof davar kol nishma, my personal understanding is that Rabbi Nachman, what?
Balatanya also was like
He was on the way. He was on the way. In Yat Kislev, when the Baal HaTanya was Yoytze Mehama'asar, when he left prison, it was around the time, the Rebbe always likes to point out, it was around the time that Rabbi Nachman was arriving in Eretz Yisrael. So the Yetziah from the Ma'asar that the Baal HaTanya did to be Mefitz, Ma'ayonos HaChasidus, in a way that had never been revealed before, Rabbeinu was conquering Eretz Yisrael at the same point. So, Hine Masha Kasav B'Lukuta Maran, that which is written in Lukuta Maran, Yimei Chanukah Heim Yimei Hoida'a, that the days of Chanukah are days of gratitude, Kfar Kasav B'Gemara, and Daf Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph, V'Kavim B'Halal V'Hoida'a, right? That it's written, Halal V'Hoida'a, one can say, Daf Chaf Aleph in Masech HaShabbos, Chaf Aleph is the gematria of the Shem Eheke, which is Aleph K, Yud K, which is the Shem of Keser and Bina, which is Shayach to Sha'ashui Olam Haba, because Eheke is Eheke Asher Eheke, I will be what I will be, meaning this future orientation towards the Sha'ashuim of Elam Haba. And we know the Zohar HaKadosh says, and Rabbi Nachman brings down in the sixth teaching, that Eheke, that the word that I will be, this future orientation of an anticipatory joy that is not yet present, yet I can still taste that joy. So this inyan of Eheke is Anna Zamin Lemeheve, I am prepared to be. Meaning, so this Sha'ashua of Eheke is a process of emerging from the present into a future that is not yet present. So that could be why it's Daf Chaf Aleph on Masech HaShabbos. But Rabbeinu HaKadosh Hoysif, and Rabbi Nachman added, Al Zed, the Inyan Hoida'a, this aspect of gratitude, Hu Bechina Sha'ashua Olam Haba. Meaning, there's a mechanism within the aspect of gratitude that is not only a proper trait, but rather it is a pathway. It is a way of opening up the pipelines to taste of the light of the world to come. That which stands at the ready to be revealed in the future, in spite of the fact that it's not revealed yet, it doesn't mean that we can't taste it or draw it down into our lives. So what Rabbi Nachman is adding is that to be a bal hoida'a, to have gratitude, whatever that might mean, is a way of drawing the future into the present itself. V'tzarich levayer ha'inyan, says the Rebbe, we have to try and understand this. Zok the Rebbe, v'hinei tachlis habriya, the purpose of creation, hu yemois ha'mashiach, are the days of Mashiach. That's the Tachlis. We see that in Chazal. We see that everywhere, that the Shis Alfei Shanan, the Havei Alma, the 6,000 millennia of the world, are like a prazdor. They are a gateway that is leading us towards the Tarkalin, that's leading us towards the experience of Shabbos. Now, that's not to be memayit or diminish the value of the process. Very often we come to find the process is as valuable, if not more valuable, than the goal, as the Baal HaTanya would point out, that I don't want your Olam Haba, I don't want your Gan Eden Tachton or Elyon, I want you in this world. And we know that Yafasha Achas, that there's a yecheles, an ability for Yid to be megala the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world more than what is available to a person la'asid lavo. That doesn't change the fact that tachlis is tachlis, and tachlis is yimoy samashiach, and v'schar olam haba, and the schar of olam haba. What's the schar of olam haba? Zok the Rebbe, shehu radla. The schar of olam haba is associated with the concept in Kabbalah referred to as radla. Radla is an acronym which is a very important one for the time we're in. Adar is Shetevos Resha Delo Isyada as well. You don't necessarily need the Lamed to make the Torah. Adar is Resha Delo Isyada, because the Resha Delo Isyada is the loftiest point in the Seder Heshtalshalis that the Arizal describes. And it's the loftiest point that contains within itself infinite loftier points, but it's still, in the end of the day, Resha Delo Isyada is like the keser of all kesers. It's the top crown of the Gimel Reishon of Atik. Again, we're just saying the words, so the words come down. But Reish Lo Asyada is a point within the mind, from a perspective of Chassidus, where a person comes in contact with the apex of knowledge, which is that in the end of the day, I don't know anything at all. Reisha dilo is yada, vilo is reisha dilo yada, vilo is yada. It's an unknowable head, and it's a head that will never be known. This place, the Keser of all Ksarim, is a place. It's the interconnectivity kavyachol between the worlds of the infinite and the worlds of finitude, and by definition, as a bridge, as a gesher tsar ma'oid ma'oid between the infinite and the finite, it defies definition. It is part limitation, part non-limitation. It is the point of contact between conscious mind and the unconscious kind of makifin. And radla, for the Rebbe, nobody. And this is a davar pashut ad ma'od. There has never been a tzaddik in existence who has spoken more openly and more explicitly about the sugyos of Reshad Lo Asyada. The Arizal speaks about them in Shar Yud Gimel. In Eitz Chaim. The Kamarna Rebbe speaks a lot about it in Nesiv Mitzvaysecha. The Admirim of Chabad Lubavitch utilize it in a very powerful way as well, but they don't go into necessarily opening it up. The Vilna Gaon utilizes it, as is explicit in the beginning of his Perush on Safer Disneusa, how everything is about Radla. But what the Rebbe has done with Radla, with Reshad Lois Yada, is open up the Sugya into remarkable, remarkable places. There's an Indian called Sveikos of Radla, the Doubts of Radla, where Rav Chaim Vital doesn't remember exactly what he heard from his Rebbe in this sugya, and he says, not only do I not remember, but there's more sveikos that I have that I wasn't ben zoicha to understand them, which means that the highest point a person can come to is sometimes doubt and emuna v'chule. So the Rebbe is saying the tachlis of Olam Haba is a hasaga of Radla. It's a hasaga of Radla. It's grasping this place in our mind that was incapable of being grasped at this point. Sha'ashuim atzmiim, which means a back and forth, a to and fro that is moilit, a friction, an inner joy, but not an inner joy that is associated with some sort of object permeancy outside of myself in the hopes of finding pleasure, but rather an inner mineu bei type of relationship, in and of itself. The secret that most of the time we think that a person needs two things in order to make unification. But in truth, the deeper secret is that you can make unifications even in one thing, that there's an inner movement back and forth which in all things, which is the direct propulsion and repulsion of chasadim and gvuros, expressivity and repression. And those two are always in a perpetual dance with one another. You see, what? Two that is one, Echad Shushnayim, Uman Bishlayim. Meaning there's two. It's Achas Dibur Aloikim, Shtayim Zushamati. Pasuk in Tehillim says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke once and I heard twice. To be a Ben Adam is to always be caught up in the echo of a singular unity that can no longer be grasped in its unity, because only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unified in that way. So we always grasp it in two. And so it's a one that emerges into two, but our avoida is to recognize from within that two that it's in truth a one. Rabbi Nachman has a lashon at the end of Ma'aseh Lechem, which was one of the hidden stories that were only revealed much later on, where he says that Yesh Echad Shu Shtayim, Kishu Kan Husham, Vyeshtaim Shu Echad, Kishu Sham Hukan Gamkin. So there's an idea of it's one that is two and it's a two that is one. So yeah, exactly right. It's like the zero point of energy where it's nothing. It's nothing, but there's a perpetual movement of that nothing emerging every moment into new levels of nothingness. The Rebbe likes to quote all the time that the Litvaks used to say about the Hasidim that they don't learn. But the Hasidim don't learn. They're busy davening. They're busy in their things. So the Hasidim would say, Avad, the Hasidim learn in Nisht. Hasidim learn in Nisht, meaning to say, it's not that the Hasidim don't learn, but they're learning how to say Nisht. They're learning the secret of no over and over and over. They're undoing the possibility of saying anything because they're constantly refining, coming to a place of more bittel. So it's not that Hasidim don't learn, it's that they're learning the secret of no, which is Hasidim learn in Nisht, exactly. So that's the Inyan of Radla, and it's the Sha'ashuim Atzmiim Kemuvur Bekisvei Chabad, Inyan Aniva Ayin. This Inyan, and again, the Rebbe is giving like Mamish Roshei Tevos here, the person typing, but again, this is the idea, the Sha'ashuim, the back and forth, this to and fro, this light of Keser is what the Rebbe refers to as Aniva Ayin, of self and nothingness at once. But there are klal, we see a stira between self and nothingness. We tend to see it as a ladder. There's self, there's ego, which has to refine itself on the darga of bitul hayesh or bina, and then you come to a place of ayin, which is bitul b'metzias, as it's written, which is the darga of chachma. But what the Rebbe is megala, based on all the previous tzaddikim, is that the darga of keser, of sha'ashuim oylem haba, of radla, is the inyan of aniva ayin b'vasachas, where the self is not negated in the face of nothingness, but rather the self is refined to such a degree that we become a vehicle to be megala more nothingness in the aspect of Ani Hashem Elokeichem, that the godless, as Rabbi Nosson writes, the Rebbe says that he heard from Maharash, whose Yard said it was a few weeks ago, that the Iker Nekuda in Lekutei Halachos is Hilchos Shluchim Halacha Dalet. And the Rebbe says, in the beginning he didn't understand why, and then he looked back and he finally understood why. There we talk about Shlucha Shal Adam Kamoso. And what Rabbi Nosson is applying this to is that the Ben Adam is the Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And Shliach Shal Adam Kamoso applies Kavyachot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, that the Avoida of the Ani in this world is to become a Merkava, where we're doing the mitzvos Kavyachot for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where every aspect of Ani and Anoichias and selfhood doesn't need to be negated as if it's something bad. It has to be refined and clarified until it becomes a translucent thing that reveals the light of nothingness even more. So this dance between Ani Ayin is also very much connected to the Sha'ashuim. This is also the Inyan of Nesava HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lios L'Adir B'Tachtoinim. This is why, as the Baal Tanya points out in the name of Chazal and Medrash and Vayakel and Perek Lamed Vav, that the Tachlis is HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Meskala Lamata. Why would the Tachlis be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Meskala Lamata? Because if he's only Lamala, there's no Sha'ashuim. That's a bitlo b'tachlis. That's just Ayin. There's no movement. There's no friction of the to and fro. There's no balance that needs to be developed. But the Inyan of Dir B'Tachtoinim is to bring it all the way down so that there can be a dualism, so to speak, not a dualism, but a duality of movement, a dual pulsation at the heart of unity, which is perpetually kind of upholding itself by dancing together. Neither negates itself, but both uphold themselves in a space of like this negative energy where the two are in opposition to one another, but they continuously dance. Inyan Sha'ashuim Atzmiim. This is the secret of Sha'ashuim Atzmiim. Ikar Atachlis, and what does this mean, B'Tachlis? It's the Tainug Be'elikus. What it means is the Tachlis, what do Sha'ashuim manifest themselves as? They manifest themselves as Tainug, as a certain inner sense of pleasure, and a pleasure that one can take in their contemplation of godliness. The Darga Hayoiter Elyono. Because the highest level that a person can reach, hu kishah adam loymed Torah, when a person learns Torah, umakayim mitzvos, and they accomplish mitzvos maisios, bebitl atzmi, with a self-negation, not a self-belittlement, but a refinement of the self to the point of translucency, v'ta'inug atzmi be'elikus, and at the same point, a profound pleasure of godliness. Now again, thankfully, we're not going to see it here, but the Rebbe, based on all of the writings of Chabad Lubavitch, always tells us that this ta'inug doesn't have to be felt. And we're not talking about a conscious pleasure that one has to contemplate and actually be in a state of feeling it. The higher darga is to not feel the pleasure, but to believe in the pleasure. So, I mean, those of you who feel the pleasure of Tainug Elokus, gewalt. But those of us who don't feel the Tainug of Elokus, that's what's referred to as a Tainug HaBilti Murgash HaBab Murgash, an unfelt pleasure that's drawn into a state of pleasure. But Tainug Atzmi Elokus, Tainug Meha Amuna, which is ultimately a pleasure that one takes in faith itself. Shazehu Darga ha'amitis shel lishma, and this is the highest level. This is the secret of what it means to learn Torah lishma. So the Rebbe continues, v'zehu b'chinas hoyd. And this is how we're going to find ourselves connected to the sugya of Hoida'a and Chanukah. This is the aspect of Hod, which is an inyan of Hoida'a. This is the aspect of self-nullification, self-belittlement, not belittlement, but rather self-refinement, as well as the aspect of gratitude, and it's also the inyan of Halel. She'i efshar lahagia ladarga ha'amitis shel Hoida'a ela al yidei Halel. Because a person cannot come to the true level of gratitude, of recognizing the gratefulness that I should have in every moment. Should is a bad word in this context. Typically it's a bad word, but the gratitude that I will naturally feel emerges specifically out of speaking about the gratitude that I should feel, meaning it's a tautological thing. How does one become grateful? They speak about being grateful. A person can't come to a state of gratefulness unless they ha'emanti ki adaber, until I sing about it. By singing about it, I come to a state of gratefulness. Ah, you would think that you have to be in a state of gratitude in order to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'chayra hoda'a would have to be before halel. What we see here is the secret mechanism of shaloi lishma balishma, that you can start with halel and then you come to a place of hoda'a, kimavur b'derech mitzvaysecha la'atzemach tzedek b'mitzvah halel. The only way we could come to true hoda'a is through the mitzvah of halel, like we see in derech mitzvaysecha from the tzemach tzedek. And ube'ikr b'soif devarav sham. And the Rebbe wants us to pay attention to the end paragraph in this hoysafa on the inyan of halel, which is brought down, shehuva b'divrei rav Pinchas Shklover talmid balatanya mipi al balatanya. Over there we have something from rav Pinchas Shklover. Now I don't know if this is the same Shklov that the Gra and his Talmidim, Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov, Rav Yisrael Mishklov. Shklov was like a place of Mashiach ben Yosef Mamish, the Ruach HaKodesh, and mathematical Kabbalah that came out of that place with the Talmidei HaGra is an insane thing. So I don't know if this was a Talmid living in the same place. That would just be even better. But Rav Pinchas of Shklov, he also wrote down the Hanachos of the Baal HaTanya in one of the volumes. But he was a Talmud of the Baal HaTanya. And this Talmud, Rav Pinchas, Hayim Miyuchad, what was unique about him? Bazeh Shebizman Sheh Baal HaTanya Hayim Misgalgil B'Shas Amiris Devar Lekem Chayim. When the Baal HaTanya would literally roll around the floor when he reached the point of Dveikus in his conveying of Devar Lekem Chayim, Meroiv His Pa'aluso, from the immense amount of kind of spiritual movement, Bebechinas Oifaneh HaKodesh, and the aspect of the Ofanei HaKodesh, the Malachim who are Megalgel themselves, who transform themselves. You see this in the Piyazetz Nereba, Hashem Yom Komdomo as well, in his diary, Tzav Aziruz. He has these amazing, beautiful, painful descriptions of the inner conflict he's going through about whether he should do a somersault or not at Shal Shudas, and describing this Galgalim, Galgalim, and that's what's being described over here. So at that moment, Rav Pinchas, Mitgalgel Imo, Rav Pinchas would be rolling around on the floor with the Baal HaTanya, Ve'al Yedei Zeh Hayashom Kol HaTorah B'li LaHachzir Klum. He heard every word without missing anything. Shezeh Lo Haya Efshar L'Shal HaTamidim. This was not possible for the other Tamidim. V'atzemach Tzedek Me'oid Hechshiv Kol Devarav. And that Tzemach Tzedek, the grandson of the Baal HaTanya, valued his words immensely. V'zehu Biur Mashakosav Atzemach Tzedek. And Zok, the Rebbe, you see just the minutia of even like the history of Chassidus. The Rebbe says, and this is why the Tzemach Tzedek says, V'kein Ra'isi B'ksav Yad Rav Pinchas Shklover Zal Shekosav Ois Ba'Ois Mipi Rabbeinu. He's describing Rav Pinchas' avodah of writing letter for letter. Why does it say letter for letter? Because he was mitgalgel and he heard everything that he needed to hear. The Ikar HaNakuda, what's the Ikar HaNakuda in Rav Pinchas Shklover's Nakuda here, which is again bringing us into contact with the sugya of Halal and Haida'ah. The Ikar HaNakuda, Shuhu Lamalame Eser Sviros Hayeduos Yesh Oilamos Ein Keitz. B'derach klal, we know about the Eser Sviros. We know about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created after the Tzimtzum. We know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created after the Tzimtzum of the Or Ein Sof. But one of the fundamental introductions that comes out of not nearly every Mekobel, not nearly every Tzaddik, but every Tzaddik and every Mekobel, is that when we speak about Or Ein Sof, when we speak about the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are not speaking about the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something that is removed from the conversation. It is ungraspable, unthinkable, and uncognitizable by human constructs of language. Every time that we are speaking in any system, from the tippy top down to the very bottom, we are talking about giluyim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has revealed for the sake of Bnei Adam being able to be masikim. Now that doesn't mean that Atzmusa Yisbarach Kavyachol, the essence of God, whatever that might mean, it doesn't mean that it's not ever present in every possible nook and cranny of all possible existence. It's a din in hasaga. We're not talking about a din in its presence. It's a vada present everywhere. Nothing is not present there. But it's a din in hasaga, and one of the fundamental rules is that when we're speaking, then it's no longer the essence. So Or Ein Sof, when you look in the Arizal and you see that before the Tzimtzum, there was an Or Ein Sof, there was a light of the infinite that was male the halal, that subsumed the vacant space in which reality would eventually take shape prior to the Tzimtzum, Zok the Leshem, Zok the Baal HaTanya, Zok all the Tzaddikim, the Arizal, all of them, from top to bottom, that this is still a giloy. Or Ein Sof is a giloy. As the Rebbe Rashab says, that all of the dargos and atzmus that we're speaking about, it's all still shemo ha'atzmi. It's the essential name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a name is not the essence of a person. A name is only a revelation for the sake of an other. Again, it's deeply connected and indistinguishable from a certain perspective, from the loftiest levels of possible conversation, but we have to hold cup on the fact that Or Ein Sof is still just a giloy. What this does, it takes away most of the sakana of ever kind of making a mistake in these limudim. If I think I'm talking about God, so to speak, b'chavaydu v'atzmo, if I make a mistake, I'm making a tremendous mistake. But when I realize that it's all language games, essential language games, but language games nonetheless, in the end of the day, I can't really fall into the trap of ever being Magshim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because if I'm speaking about it, I'm not talking about B'chavaydoi Uva'atzmo. So as high as I can go, I can still speak about the possibility of levels. Everybody with me on this so far? Generally speaking, when it comes to Or Ein Sof, that which exists above and beyond the oilamos of Adam Kadmon, Atzilus, Bri Yetzira, Eser Sviros, that's where we talk about limitation. But to talk about limitations or dimensions or systems or order or gradations of value in the infinite light, so to speak, is something that prior to Hasidus was only something that was hidden very deeply within the writings of the Arizal and not spoken about in a revealed way. Comes along Hasidus and reveals that in truth, the levels that we're talking about as the highest levels, they're only relative to levels that are even higher to them. So when I'm looking from a level of limitation, let's say in a world of Asiya where limitation is abound, when I look above the Tzimtzum, I'm looking at absolute infinitude. Because relative to my position, there is absolutely no gradations, no separation, no limitation, no system. But when I reach higher levels and I come to that place where I thought I was reaching what is absolutely infinite, I then come to find that in relationship to a higher infinitude, there's also a consideration of the potential of limitation even in those lofty places. And it's not a pegam in yichud chas v'shalom, because when we talk about the dargin or the possibility of levels within or ein sof, we're not talking about the emergence of levels. We're talking what the Baal HaTanya referred to as a yicholes, the possibility of the manifestation that will eventually emerge. That Tzemach Tzedek writes in Derech Mitzvah Yisach in Shoresh Mitzvah Satfila, that when the Baal HaTanya would talk about these dargin of Eser Sviro, the 10 spheros, so to speak, which are concealed already within the infinite. Now, how can you talk about spheros and the infinite? Spheros are only something that happen after an emergence out of the infinite. Avada connected to the infinite every second, but you can't talk about spheros or limitation because a sphera is a number, it's a manifestation. How could you talk about that a space of infinitude? Elama, we have to abstract the ideas and refine them to such a degree that we come to realize that even in the loftiest levels of our grasp, there is still the beginningness, the emergence of the potentiation towards limitation. Meaning to say that even the highest levels that we can contemplate still already made room for the emergence of the levels lower than it. And again, this is, like I said, we're touching upon sugyos that demand months and months and months of birur, achar birur, achar birur, but at the same point, we also have the ability to taste the etzem in a tiny piece of it, and it's not impossible for us to be masig vizinyanim. It's a paradox, but once we get okay with the paradox of it all, then it's not so hard. So this is what the Rebbe says, the ikar hanakuda. What's the essential point over here? Shelamala me'eser sviros hayaduos, above the 10 sviros and the worlds that we know, yesh olamos ein keitz, there are in truth infinite worlds. Eser sviros hagnuzos, in truth there are a concealed level of sviros. They're not manifest yet, but they exist by way of potential. The Rebbe frames a lashon to describe these things as a metzias she'ena b'metzias. They're a non-existent existence, which means they exist by way of non-existence. It's not that they don't exist, they exist in a way of not existing. So there's still a shem hatoar there, but you can't speak about it as if it's an actual manifestation, because that's a bittel of the hasaga of Or Ein Sof, which is without limitation. But we can hold this delicate balance of mitzias she'ena b'mitzias, a yecholes, a potential that is yet to manifest in actuality. Those exist even above the worlds that we know. Kamosha kasuf harashash, like Rav Shalom Sharabi points out, dechoyla olamos shebashis alfei shanin dahave alma heim b'chinas alma chada. This is an incredible nekuda from the Rashash at the heart of Rochev HaSana'ar. Aval yesh olamos yoter elyonos le'en keitz. He says, when Chazal say, shis alfei shanin dahave alma, and there's 6 millennia that existence functions in, and then in the 7th millennia, it's an entrance into the Chad Charev. And then as the Bris Menucha brings down, and the Ramchal brings down, and the Leshem brings down, not only is there a 7th millennia, but there's an 8th, and a 9th, and a 10th, and there's aliyos en keitz. What the Rashash says is all of the descent away from Or Ein Sof, down to the bottom, and the ascent back upwards into infinitude once again, and the end of creation with Vias HaMashiach, that is only one nitzutz. That is only one spark along the infinite chain of sparks of Hiskarvus to the Or Ein Sof Kavyachol, which means exactly what it sounds like. It's an infinite possibility of iterations, of iterations, of iterations of what we feel is the most singularly unique expression of existence. Our existence, what we come to learn is from a relative perspective, we are simply one link in a chain that is ever moving closer but never quite reaching the absolute infinite itself. It's a radical, radical reconception of really everything. But so this is the same idea, that there's aliyos ein keitz. There's hidden spheros, there's refinement upon refinement upon refinement. And diyesh lifnim ulifnim milifnim. There's an inner and there's an inner within the inner, meaning it's all a relative positioning. What I consider what is highest in my point of perspective from where I am right now is only the highest from where I look. But when I get up there, I come to realize that in relationship to the next level, it is not the highest, but there's something higher. Very simply put, in this room, the ceiling is the highest space in this room. And one would not be wrong to say the highest point in this room is the ceiling. But from the perspective of the floor above us, that ceiling has now suddenly been transformed into a floor. Ad infinitum, that the ceilings become floors and the floors become ceilings, ad infinitum. And the malchus becomes a keser and the keser becomes a malchus. And the language of the v'yesh ak v'abia ein keitz k'loshen ataris chacham. And there are infinite gradations of ak and abia. After we're mit'aleh, the final aliyah is a chazara back to the or ein sof kav yachol. It's referred to either based on the Zohar and Chassidus as Iskarvus, the gufa de malka, I'm forgetting exactly what the lashon is, so that mamish like a deep cleaving and connection, but it's really just reality being subsumed back into a point where there's nothing really to speak about, because now the manifested actuality of existence has returned back to its state of potential. So, and when it operates in a state of potential, it is saturated in that infinitude of light where it's no longer oyla b'shem. Right, it's like Chazal say, "Shraga b'tahira maya honey." What value is there for a candle in the sunlight? The candle still exists, but it has no identifiable value or individualized existence, so to speak, when the sunlight is revealed. Avada, but kisei hakavod is oilam abriya. Meaning there's aliyos ein keitz. Aliyos ein keitz is a lashon that the Rebbe has been using over and over in his recent Shal Shudas Drashos. Aliyos ein keitz, there are infinite levels. One can never, ever come to a place and say that they've reached the final level. Kedushas ilamale mikedushas eichem. My holiness is above your holiness, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a halacha psuka, and that's what maintains the raza de mehemnusa, the secret of faith, which maintains the boundary between self and God, unlike other paths which try and destroy the boundary between the two and allow the two to merge, where Ben Adam could, God forbid, see themselves as perfect and be no different than godliness. The chiddush of Yahadus is that we mind the gap. And there's a kedushas ilamalim kedushas eichem. And that has to mean that. So what does that mean? So what happens when we're matakin everything? Wow. Beautiful. Right, even Moshe Rabbeinu needs an aliyah. Bevadai, the Leshem Shabbat Chaloma says, I love that idea. The Leshem Shabbat Chaloma says this before. She says, it's Moshe Rabbeinu who asks Hashem, Harenina ask Kvoidecha. I want to see everything, panim el panim. And it's Moshe Rabbeinu who is rejected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Ki lo yareini ha'adam v'chai. Zak the Leshem. If it was anybody else, we would have attributed it to some symptomatic failure of being human. But the fact that it's Moshe Rabbeinu, we see that that flaw is inherent. It's a function as opposed to a bug. There's a functional law in reality, says the Lashem, that the Nivra cannot be Masig the Baira, that the creation cannot grasp the Creator. Again, it doesn't mean that we don't have direct access at every second. Bechol Karenu Elov, right? When we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Elov V'loy L'midoysav. We're not talking to the Sphiros of the Partzufim. We have a Panim B'Panim, but it's a Panim B'Panim by way of a mediation, meaning it's the Rebbe says, the Medrash says, a love v'loy l'midosav, directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not his midos. Ah, but we just said he can't go directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Chiddush is, it's a love b'derech midosav. You reach the infinite, the essence of the infinite, kav yachol, by way of minding the recognition that I can't grasp the essence of the infinite. That's what the Torah is. The Torah, halacha, mitzvah, this worldliness, all of those inyanim are the buffer. They're the zer'anpin, they're the parts of that we engage in, and somehow, some way, when I'm learning the osi of the Torah, I'm calling or ein sof into the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, b'chvaydu v'atzmo, but it's not, it's an immediacy, but it's an immediated immediacy. It's grasping the essence, but by way of the inessential. Again, these are things that we're going to be mocked in. We'll go through all the hakdamos. And this is also true on kind of a fractalized level. All of these infinite gradations of levels, they apply in each and every point. They apply in each and every quintessential point. Everything comprises an infinite expression of itself, which is what we are coming to understand even from a quantum level, that when you uncover layer upon layer upon layer, what a person comes to identify is the ultimate fact that there's just this hustle and bustle of a sha'ashua mineyu bay that gives off the appearance of some standing existence. Amnan tsarich ledas, says the Rebbe, d'chol madregos ha'elu heim ach rak be'or einsof. All of these olamos ein keitz, they exist in a state of potential within the light of the infinite. Shehu b'chinas ritzona yisbarach. The light of the infinite is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoido ve'atzmo, it's his ratzon, as the Rama Mipano describes. Ratzon is gematria shemo, it's gematria 346, which is the secret of koidem shenivra ha'olam hayahu v'shmo echad. He and his name were one. What do you mean? Why was there a need for a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu prior to the creation of the world? The only tachlis of a name is when the world is created. Elama, we see that there was a shirish of shemo, of a ratzon, bekoyach, in a potential state, even prior to the creation of the world, which hints to this very secret, which is that limitation exists already by way of potential, even prior to the actualization of limitation. Which is always standing at the ready to be revealed in the future. And all of the pleasure and the reward of the next world, which are the inner playfulness of the shuashuam ha'atzmiyim, hakol hu b'b'chinas ritzona. We are never grasping chvoidu v'atzmu chas v'shalom. Besviros o ba'ilamos in kates. They all exist within or in sof. Aval l'malamizeh, but higher than that, that which the peh can no longer say, that which the mind can no longer contemplate, yesh dargah shel or in sof de lo asid la'odia. There's an aspect of the infinite light which will not be known in the future. There's an aspect of the infinite light which will be known, which is graspable to us, which contains all of the potential towards differentiation. And then there's the aspect of the or in sof, so to speak, which cannot be known, which we are no longer talking about gradational levels over there. At that point, it's an or pashut betachlis. It's an absolutely unified and singular light. Sha'al zeh ne'emar kedushasi l'malam mikdushaseichem. At that point, where we're no longer talking about the limitations, that's where we say the shtarka halacha of kedushasi l'malam mikdushaseichem, my kedusha is always above yours. V'leis machshava tfisa beklal. And no mind, no thought can grasp that place. V'oid l'malam mizehu abal haratzon. And even beyond that, which doesn't even enter into conversation, is the bal haratzon, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoido v'atzmo kavyachol, which we have no access to, v'atzmuso. Shebo yisbarach leis machshava tfisa beklal v'klal. We don't even beginning talk about what we can't talk about at that point. Again, you see the inherent shock absorbers and break systems within Hasidus and within Kabbalah, because without all of these definitive descriptions of these very dakastika categories, it would have been all too natural to fall into the pits of Avodah Zarah, into Shnios, into duality. But what we find here is that we're really protected. And the Rebbe continues, "Va'amnan srichim lizkor yesoid ha'yesoidos." But what we have to remember fundamentally, "Shakol ha'tfila v'ha'avoida shalanu," all of our tfila and all of our work, "ach v'rak lebal haratzon atzmo." Everything that we do in this world, every sigh that Yid has, every tzibrachin feeling that I have, every word of tefillah, every word of Torah, forget all of the mechanisms and all of the secrets. It goes directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is why the Rivash in Siman Kuf Yud Beis, when he had a kasha on the Mekubalim, he says, we call Edom Kasa Mishalashim, right? We call them the people who make a trinity, right? Why not call the Mekubalim Kasa Asirim? They come and they make it into 10 different things. It's better for me to daven kedas hatinok. It's better for me to daven like a child, like the Ri Mikoinen says. And what the Lubavitcher Rebbe would point out is that be'emes taka, right? There's a darga above all of the kavanos, above everything, which is hispala kedas hatinok, where you're davening like a child. That there's no chilik between the greatest mekubal in the world who knows all of the dargin and a child who's crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Both are only crying out to that which is inaccessible in a graspable way, which is the Baal HaRatzon. But as Arizal points out and the Ramchal points out, the Chiddush and the pleasure of it is knowing all of the Dargan and being Mevatel each and every Darga to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a big Chiluk. And La'asid Lavo, right, Kemayim Liyam Mechasim, everybody's going to have an equal grasp of the Yam. Ah, so what's the Tachlis? But what the Tzadikim point out, and the Mittler Rebbe points this out, is that the yam is always going to look simple and unified on the surface, but there's gradational depths, right? One person will have a much deeper experience of the yam. So there's gradational depths in terms of what we have hasaga on, but in the end of the day, it's all directly to the Baal HaRatzon. Everyone, we're good on time, a little bit weiter to get to the Nakuda. And anybody who wants to leave, obviously, please fear not offending. Vine ratzon hana, what's this ratzon that we're talking about where we can already talk about the potential of limitation prior to limitation, which prior to the intervention of Hasidus within Kabbalah would have been a seemingly impossible, nearly heretical thing to say, to start talking about olamos ein kets in the light of the infinite. How could you talk about dimensions within that which is above all dimensions? How can you begin to talk about limitation within that which is unlimited? But this ratzon is also referred to as yicholes. It's also referred to as potential or possibility as it exists within the individual prior to the expression of that possibility. Like the Tzemach Tzedek writes in the name of Baal HaTanya, that yicholes is the highest ability to describe this potential prior to actualization, or the Metzias She'enim Metzias. The Harei Mitzad Aleph, from one perspective, and here we get into the Raza Demeim Nusa of it all, which the Baal HaTanya describes as a secret of Emunah because it's a paradox at the heart of all things, right? Mitzad Aleph Muva, the Ratzon Hukadam. Over here we say that Ratzon is something that is original, right? Ratzon is this thing which is pre-original, so to speak. How can we talk about gradations in Ratzon? The Baal HaRatzon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, is the highest level in the world we would conceive of. Umitzad sheni muva sheratzon l'chud u'bal ratzon l'chud. But on the other hand, we come to see that there's a separation between the limitation that we could apply to the concept of Ratzon and the Baal HaRatzon, who we have no access to speaking about. Absolutely, right, in the Gra, very much so. Radla can be referred to as Ein Sof itself in the beginning of Safreditz Nusa, but that's the secret of relativity. Relative to the position that I'm in right now, when I look up at Radla, because that's the highest Darga, that's Nechshav as Ein Sof, but that's an Ein Sof to Asid La'oidaya. That's an Ein Sof that stands at the ready to be known in the future. It can be integrated once I go to a higher Darga. The Baal HaRatzon, or even the Ratzon before the Baal HaRatzon, is what's referred to as Ein Sof the Lo Asila Oidaya. It's a giloy that cannot come into integration. But you're right, you find the Lashon of Ratzon there as well. Let's go a little bit weiter. El Habior, so how do we handle this stira? Hu da'af be'or Ein Sof yesh b'china shel reishis. In Or Ein Sof, we say there's no limit, but that doesn't mean there's no beginningness. Now, we're not talking about anything in Zman. We're talking about an idea that there is a beginning at this point of the giloy of the Ratzon. No chas v'shalom b'zman. It's not a haschala b'zman, chalila. Ela b'b'china shehu gam kein ratzoni yisparach b'b'china ziv. But rather, when we say that there's a beginning to the aspect of Ratzon, or is an aspect of the Or Ein Sof, like we said, there's already a giloy, all of that is still representative of the fact that the Or Ein Sof is still just a ziv. It's a shine. It's not the thing in itself. It's not the essence. Ela hu b'b'chinas ein aruch. It's still on a gradational level, completely removed from our capacity of grasp, but in the end of the day, it still has a bechina of a beginningness. It's not the absolute beginning. The hainu sheyeshna reishis legiloy zeshel Or Ein Sof. There is a giloy. There is a point where we can say HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed Or Ein Sof. Kisharatz HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'skalus ba'ora Ein Sofi. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a decision to reveal His light in an infinite way. Shelifnei HaGiloy HaZeh, prior to this emergence of this infinitude of the Or Ein Sof, which is the giloy, Hayagunis HaOr Ein Sof b'kadmus yisparach b'Baal HaRatzon. The Or Ein Sof was nichlal in the Baal HaRatzon. Everybody with me on this so far? Go weiter. Amnan besoich Or Ein Sof, within the light of the infinite, ritzoinoi, which means that original will, yecholes, which means that potential prior to actualization, genuzen koil ha'elamus v'hasviros ein kets, are concealed all of the sviros and all of the and all of the worlds and measurements that will emerge afterwards. V'hine makom haschar ha'amiti, and here we're going to get to the avoida part of it. Where is the place of the schar ha'amiti? Where does a yid come in contact with the true warmth and the true reward of what it means to live in this world? world, who be'or ein sof ha'pashut hanal. When we ascend back into the light of or ein sof, when we ascend back into that place of realizing that in the end of the day, at the highest level of what we can comprehend, we're still not quite reaching the absolute beginning of all things, which is ungraspable, but we're reaching a place of or ein sof that we can be masig. Shulamala me'mala me'olamos v'siros, which is above all gradation and separation. Makom sha'ashuam ha'atzmiyim, the place of this inner movement of sha'ashua, makom achdus ha'amiti v'havein. This is the Rebbe's explanation of Rav Pinchas' hanacha that he received from the Baal HaTanya. V'chol ze miyusad al divrei Rav Pinchas hanal v'yesh la'ayin u'laha'arich tuva b'chol ze. And we should spend a lot of time contemplating this. V'hine inyan ha'ayda, what does gratitude mean in the context of all this? Ikar ha'ayda'u hu moidim anachnu lach sha'tahu elikenu. Hoda'a is acknowledging something being true in spite of the fact that I have absolutely no grasp of the fact that it is true. That's what the admittance here is. As Rav Futner points out as well, to be moidet to something, to be grateful for something, is also to acknowledge that I am admitting to something that I don't have evidence for at this point. Moidim anachnu lach, we admit, we agree with you, Rabbeinu Shloilem, we're grateful to you because we believe that we have a reason to be grateful to you in spite of the fact that we might not be able to identify the purpose for being grateful. Moidim anachnu lach. What are we being moida on? We're being moida. We're admitting to the fact that there is a yichud between Hashem and Elokeinu. There is a yichud between absolute, unbridled unity and Elokeinu, which is the manifestation of all limitation. The only way to grapple with the paradox at the heart of all of these things, of how the myriad details of multiplicity and emergence can emerge from the infinite, and the infinite still remains its infinitude, the only way to do that is to be moida, is to recognize that I have absolutely no idea other than bending my head in a state of bittul and believing lamala mitam vidas that Hashem hu ha'alikim. That's the secret over here. Shu ayichud ha'elyon shu lamala mitam vidas lamala minaseichel. This is the secret of the ascendant unity, which is above any reasoning and above any knowledge and above intellect. Hainu lahagia al yedei ha'ida'a la'olam hagmul, that by admitting it and by bending my head in spite of the fact that I don't know, I am tapping into the world of gratitude. I am tapping into that place of tasting my life and my days. I'm tasting that light of gratitude right now. Oylam ha-sha'ashuam ha-atzmiyim, the world of essential sha'ashuam, oylam ha-achtos, lamalim ha-tzimtzum v'asviros, and above all the tzimtzum v'haderech l'giyah l'sham, we're almost there, the way to get there, hu al yedei b'chinas hoyd, by admitting, by bending myself, hoida'a, acknowledging what I'm not even sure is true yet. Moida manachnu lach, what am I moida to? What am I pretending that I know, which I don't really know? Sha'ani Hashem lo yishinisi, that in truth, all of the gradations and all of the separation and all of the limitations, as high up as they go, nothing has ever begun to impinge even the slightest deviation away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original and absolutely present infinitude without any deviation. All of the details, even or ein sof kavyachol, makes absolutely no distinction on the infinitude and the ungraspability of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're moided to the fact that Hashem, I don't know how, I don't know why, but I believe Ani Hashem lo yishinisi, you are here still. Da'afel pisha be'isgalia al-deat simsum nirashi yeshinoi, that even we live in a world of changes and shifts and orientations and manifestation, aval midas ha'hoid, but through midas ha'hoid, shem moidim, where we admit, even though we don't know it, sh'ani Hashem lo yishinisi, choyzrim u'megalim sh'at simsum u'be'emes lo yikapshuto. We come back to a place where we say, Hashem, I live in the tzimtzum, and from the tzimtzum itself, I am telling you, this tzimtzum is not real. That's the makom of hoda'a, to be in the gvul itself, and to be makir that this gvul has not instituted or initiated even the slightest change, because it's all b'derech giluyim. I am never touching the top, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Rabbi Nachman would say, is so infinitely large and so big that we can no longer even begin to contemplate what those concepts might mean. The Choyzrim v'Oylim l'Ritzoyne Yisbaruch, and at that point we're mistabik to the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is l'malim in hatzimtzum. And then they add over here an important parenthesis, sh'af shagam Ritzoyne Yisbaruch yesh b'b'china shal tzimtzum, even though there's still a tzimtzum there because it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'choy deva atzmo, amnanu b'b'china sein aruch, in a relative positioning, it's got no relationship with any of the other gradations. But the ikar inyan is the hayda'a, the acknowledgement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the bending in to the fact that moidim anach, I'm acknowledging the fact that Rabbeinu Shlalem, you have not changed. Everything is still the same. And over here, I think the fundamental nekuda at the heart of all of the hisboininess that is available here is that the hoida'a is acknowledging something that I know, that I don't necessarily know based on evidence to be true, but when I lean into that and I'm moida to that, I'm machzir all of the giluyim, back up to the place of the Bilti Gvul, and at that point I'm Mamshich from the Eser Sviros HaGnuzos, which is a more Koyach, a hidden power, an infinite power that comes back down into my life, Be'ezras Hashem.